Enterprise Management 360, your main source for tech news, analysis, podcasts, and videos for the enterprise.
Welcome to the EM360 podcast, where we have a weekly conversation with people who are impacting the enterprise tech landscape. My name is Christina Stathopoulos, and I will be your host today. After building out an advanced analytics career in tech, I am now the founder of Dare to Data, on a mission to help individuals and corporations take the next step in their data journey. In today's episode, I am joined by Deborah Leff, Chief Revenue Officer at Scream, and Jason Hardy, Chief Technology Officer for Artificial Intelligence at Hitachi Vantara. And we're here to discuss breaking boundaries. Gen AI takes on structured data. We'll be diving into the evolving landscape of enterprise AI and the stress it is placing on existing infrastructure. Welcome to the podcast, Deborah and Jason. Very happy to have you both here today. I've really been looking forward to our chat to hear more about what you've both been up to. But before we begin, can you start by introducing yourselves? Tell us who you are and what you and your teams do. Let's begin with Jason from Hitachi.
Hi, Christina. Yeah, thanks. I'm excited to be here today. So like you said, I'm CTO for Artificial Intelligence at Hitachi Vantara. Hitachi Vantara is a part of a multi-conglomerate, Hitachi, which is heavily focused in the industrial space, creating everything from trains to hard drives to everything in the middle. From our perspective at Vantara, we're the, call it the IT and data side of that business. So everything that has to do with creating data, creating an output from an application, hosting it, storing it, the IT infrastructure behind it. We are that arm of that big machine. I've been with the company for 12 years. Through the evolution of my roles through there, I've landed now in really tackling this AI question and what it looks like from a portfolio and strategy perspective. And then obviously driving that into market through a lot of very cool collaborations and portfolio capabilities that we've created, especially with what we've just launched and announced at GTC 2024 with our Hitachi IQ platform.
Fantastic. Well, welcome to the show, Jason. And Deborah, can you tell us a little bit about yourself as well and what you and your teams are up to at Scream?
Certainly. Thank you, Christina. It's really a pleasure to be here. And I actually been in the data an AI space for quite some time. I was with IBM for about 10 years as part of their business analytics practice as their global sales leader, and then into a very specific role as an industry CTO for data science and machine learning. And I joined Scream first as a strategic advisor and board member about 18 months ago. And my job here was to actually help them set up their go-to-market in the United States. And then I found myself in the position when it came time to recruit a chief revenue officer. I had already very much adopted this company. And the reason why is just because they're doing something really interesting in the market. And they have developed essentially the ability to run SQL on GPUs natively, which is a huge accelerator. So having spent so much time with IBM, working with our large enterprise customers, I got to see firsthand the challenges and the bottlenecks that they were facing. And so it's been really an amazing journey to now be on the, you know, in a different position with a different company that actually can help solve those.
Perfect. Well, we'll definitely get the chance to talk more about this. And welcome to the show as well, Deborah. To kick it off, what do you think of the current state of Gen AI? And what are companies thinking about right now with everything moving so quickly in the data and AI space? Deborah, why don't you start with this one?
Sure. So I think, you know, companies everywhere has been on this journey for leveraging value and insights out of their data. We've been on this journey since we've been saying big data, which I think is like 2005, 2006. And I think over time, there has been a lot of incremental change where we companies and organizations have figured out how to get more value. And if you look at a lot of the analytics that we've done, you know, we've started with descriptive and BI, and it got more complex with predictive and prescriptive analytics. And we've been on this journey where we have been driving incremental change across the organization. And here comes Gen AI and like upends the market in terms of the things that are now possible. And that is now coming for structured data as well. And I'm absolutely seeing in so many of the conversations that we're having with large organizations around the world is that the incremental change that they've been able to drive is not enough, that companies now need exponential change in order to keep up with throwing open the floodgates of what they're going to be able to do with their data.
I love that. So this move from incremental to exponential is what you're seeing and makes a lot of sense with all the talk around LLMs and Gen AI. As well, Jason, I would love to hear from you on this topic. What do you think of the current state of Gen AI? And as well, what do you think companies are thinking about right now with everything moving so quickly?
Yeah, I think from just Gen AI, just like what Deborah had said, it is changing the whole paradigm of what we think about the power of the potential and what's possible now. I think we've seen just the sheer impact in supply chain alone of, if you want a GPU, you better wait a year. That alone has just changed even just our consumption and almost a hoarding methodology around how we acquire just in case we need it. Every business that I've talked to have been told, you need to do this. Then they look like a deer in headlights going, what does that actually mean? And how can I actually make this thing effective for us? So we're seeing this now huge transition from, like what Deborah had said, this incremental to exponential. I think the GPU power alone shows the need of how quickly, one, the data has to be accessible and what we need to be able to do to answer this question. But then obviously all the supporting systems around it are really starting to be stressed, let alone, hey, now we have to bring in a level of compliance and a level of regulation and a level of how do we make sure we're not at risk of more liability while also running at a breakneck speed to adopt a technology that most enterprises probably don't fully understand, at least when it comes to doing something like Gen AI at scale or Gen AI at an enterprise level. So that's obviously, like, from a Hitachi perspective, we've been in this business for decades, 40 plus years now. Is this now shift into infrastructure alone has really shaken up how even buying cycles and things like that, to the point where Hitachi IQ is, as you guys probably saw announced at GTC by us, is like this huge target now for just not just addressing how you run Gen AI or AI workloads in the enterprise ecosystem, but also how do you make it something that's more applicable? How do you make it something that's more valuable? So it's now not just like, hey, we need to spend a bunch of money or we need to go try to address this question, but it's like, how do we do that? And then that whole journey is starting to pull forward and really causing just a huge kind of, again, that deer in headlights moment of, I know this is important, how do I deal with this? And then having to go through and actually try to answer that question and create something that's really relevant out of it.
Yeah, and you're talking about this, again, we're talking about this incremental to exponential growth. And you started to mention, Jason, GPUs as a part of this journey. GPUs, I think, are very, very important graphics processing units. I'd like to circle back on Deborah for this one, because I know not everyone knows what a GPU is necessarily. And I know both of you, this is a part of what you're working on. Circling back to Deborah, can you give us more context on GPUs? How would you explain this to any typical business user?
Yeah, so, you know, we're all hearing about GPUs and NVIDIA stock and understanding how it impacts the way we're working on business today. So the people that have any familiarity with them comes from the fact that we actually have Gen AI only because of GPUs, is that in order to train these massive LLMs, you needed the firepower of GPU. And if you think about a GPU, the best way for me to describe it, it's like the difference between a car and a jet engine. And CPU is like the car. It's got the horsepower, you know, however many horsepowers that particular car has. Like, you might have some that are more powerful than others. And if you want to go from point A to point B, you can throttle how much, you know, how fast you're going to go. And that's a pretty good vehicle. But if you want to go from New York to Singapore, that car is not going to take you there. you need a jet engine to take you there. And that's the way I think of the difference between GPU and CPU is that CPU has, you know, tens of cores, maybe the low hundreds of cores, where a GPU has thousands or tens of thousands of cores, which means, and all of those cores are working simultaneously. So that is a huge order of magnitude difference in the throughput of processing you get from a GPU versus a CPU. And not everything needs a GPU. If I'm just trying to, you know, drive from my home in New Jersey into New York City, obviously I'm not breaking out the jet. A car is going to be just fine. But if I'm going to go to Florida, like I just was for the Gartner conference, then a car is a very long scenic route to get there. You know, it's going to be much more efficient for me to take a jet. And I think where companies are feeling this, and this is where I feel like in a way, this incremental change is almost like snuck up on a lot of enterprises, because for a very long time, all we've had is a car. I mean, this is part of like the secret sauce of Scream, is that we open up a GPU to be used for SQL processing, for data pipelining, when it is, in most people's experience, just for training models. So this is it's a much more novel use for a GPU. And over time, we have these CPU resources. And that's what most SLAs in an organization are built on. And if it, you know, 10 years ago took me a few hours to ingest a day's worth of transactions on my online web store, and now, you know, 10 years later, that ingestion takes triple the amount of time, I might have thrown more hardware at it. I might have tried to add more horsepower to it, but it's actually a very extended SLA. And I think if you look across the organization, as data has become exponentially bigger, as the complexity of what people can do with analytics processing has become exponentially more complex, then the existing processes people have been really subject to bottlenecks that either just mean it takes a long time to do something, or you actually have to limit what somebody is doing in order to get it. Like, you're limiting the miles you're going to go, so to speak, is that in order for me to get the very complicated query to actually even get to end of job and not just fail, I have to actually make it less complex. And so I think people are incrementally kind of getting to that point where they're starting to question, but there's an awful lot across the organization that has been built for CPU, not knowing that the jet engine is here and that you can actually leave the car and hop in the plane.
Yeah, I absolutely love that analogy, by the way. So CPU versus GPU compared to a car versus a jet engine. I think with that story, this analogy that you put together, anybody can understand and relate. And to adapt to all of these changes that we're discussing, can you all provide an overview of the challenges faced by large organizations in utilizing these traditional analytics systems like Hadoop Hive, Cloudera, and Teradata? And also, how does Scream and Hitachi Vantara address these challenges? Let's kick it off with Jason for this one.
Yeah, so Vantara, like I said earlier, has been in this game for 40 plus years. I mean, we've gone from mainframe now to the complete IT evolution into now what generative AI and no code platforms or low code platforms, like that whole, like the evolution of everything about it. And what we've seen, especially in the last just couple years even, is that obviously, like what Deborah had said before, is like Hadoop has been around for a long time, or since what, mid-2000s we'll call it. And moving now into utilizing these new systems, or these systems for these new processes, like what AI is driving, they were never really designed with the intent of being real time. They were, you know what, my data's there, I can query it. If it takes a couple hours to get a couple million rows out of it, or whatever that looks like that was good enough, because it was just purely passive insight. Now what's happening is, obviously, these systems are a collection of like mission critical data to how an operation functions, or how an enterprise exists day to day. Everyone always puts like the stress on, oh, look at all the unstructured data. I'm like, yeah, people generate tons of unstructured data, but the business critical systems are operating inside this structured space. So as we look at these systems that were designed to like obviously store a tremendous amount of data, but not be this real-time level of system capability, we're now starting to see those real-time level requirements be pushed onto these quote-unquote passive systems. And they were never really intended for that. So it's not the fault of them just not being good enough. It's just they were never designed for that in the beginning. So now we're starting to see this like encroachment on real-time generative AI or AI in general workloads pressuring these systems to where they just are getting to the point where like, we can't handle this volume. I mean, just the other day I was working with one of our global manufacturing customers and they're querying 64 quadrillion rows of information and it's taking them under now a minute to do that on the screen platform. On their previous system, it would just fail. I mean, there was just no way to extract that level of data. That is a continuous cycle and it's not outside the norm now of how these systems are being pressured to support these new real-time workloads. And these real-time workloads, to be successful, to be implemented accurately, and to provide the actual information necessary to make real-time business decisions, need access to this information just in general, let alone in real-time, to be able to create the proper answer, to create the proper summarization. So it's this whole paradigm shift now of, hey, we need a tremendous amount of information for this to be effective, yet we need to also make sure that system that's collecting all that information is up to the task of being able to support the demands that are being put on it from these new processes that are changing the way that we do business on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, so the paradigm shift, traditional systems, they were not designed to be real-time, but real-time is what is demanded by businesses today. And Deborah, what are your thoughts about this, an overview of these challenges that large organizations are facing, as well as how you all at Scream and Hitachi Vantara are addressing these challenges?
Yeah, so I think a lot of what we're seeing in the market is kind of falls into two camps, right? So there's the one camp that's actually recognizing that this is happening and they are actively looking for, there has to be something better. And I'll give you an example of a large financial services organization that was wanting to ingest a days of activity in their online banking system so that they could optimize all of their offers on their platform, whether it was credit cards or mortgages or whatever the case may be. And just to ingest the days of activity for their 50, 60 million customers that were on that platform, that ingestion took 37 hours. Which meant that it was two business days later by the time their analysts and data scientists were working with the most, quote unquote, I'll say real time, because obviously, you know, it was the next morning they start working with it after the completion of the day. But that is the most relevant information because it's the close of business from the day before. And that 37 hours just was not good enough. They were like, we are just constantly behind the eight ball working with old data. We need to be working with the most current data to make sure we're optimizing as much as we possibly can. And so that is a, you know, on the one hand, that's driving. On the other hand, I think companies are still really behind the eight ball when it comes to analytics, that there is so much change coming at organizations at such breakneck speed. There is the additional complexity of the governance, of the bias and rooting it out and the fairness. That it's very hard to handle all of these things all at once. And so they're in this kind of mode of, no, but the SLA is 37 hours. And so that's what the SLA is. And I think you're going to start to see the leaders and the laggards on different tracks, where the leaders in this new world where Gen AI takes unstructured data are going to be the ones that start questioning, have the infrastructure that and the data processes, because it impacts many organizations across an enterprise. It's not just one team from where the data is generated to, you know, that entire pipeline to where it's then made available to all knowledge workers, whether they're data scientists or everyday analysts. And that we're going to see those, you know, the folks that are like, no, but this is the SLA, we're going to see them kind of learn from the leaders before, I think, challenging the status quo within their organizations.
Got it. Both of you are talking about relevant challenges that I think many companies are going to be able to relate with. But what do you think is the biggest impediment that companies are facing to be ready for Gen AI, particularly running with structured data? Let's start with Jason for this one.
So I think the biggest challenge is just the sheer volume of data that they still have to deal with and having systems that will support it. And then ensuring that their investment, because again, these projects are not inexpensive, but ensuring that their investment is being leveraged as much as possible, having the right infrastructure behind it, having the right processes integrated into it, making sure the data pipeline's there, making sure the data is good. High quality data will result in high quality results. So it's this garbage in, garbage out problem. So it's the culmination of the data problem that will really dictate how successful these programs are.
Okay. So culmination of the data problem, particularly you said the sheer volume of data and just having systems that can support it all. And then as well, connecting with that is just leveraging their investment optimally.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Thanks, Jason. What do you think, Deborah? What do you think would be the biggest impediment?
Well, I would love to actually talk about leveraging those investments because I just heard, I was in a meeting with a growth equity firm about a week and a half ago, and something very, very fascinating came up. And that is, I mean, companies, Jason even mentioned earlier about a 1 year wait time with GPUs. And so I think there is an awful lot of GPUs have been procured and purchased and made available either on cloud or on-prem in some organizations. And not everyone knows exactly what they're going to do with that hardware. And because Scream unlocks that GPU and puts it to work, we were in this conversation with this person from this growth equity firm who mentioned that they had just seen a report, which I'd really like to get my hands on. We can share it with everybody, but I haven't seen it yet. But he said that in the report, it mentioned that the average utilization of GPUs held on-prem at enterprises is running about 2%. And that a high utilization rate would be about 20%. And like I thought, I mean, this is mind-blowing. And that's because if the only thing you can do with them is train an LLM or train a model, there's excess capacity, which I didn't even realize that this was a thing because our customers, especially our joint customers with Hitachi Vantara, are running at 100% utilization. Like they are, those machines are fully churning through data at very, very fast paces and unlocking lots of opportunity at the organizations that are using them. And so to me, that putting that investment to work, I just wanted to just expand on that a little bit because I think that's actually really important. It's not enough to go out and make sure your enterprise has this. It's actually about figuring out how to get it to as high utilization as humanly possible so that it's doing good things for the organization.
I like the word, you used the right word, which was mind-blowing. The stat that you shared, I think is very interesting. It's mind-blowing for sure. And so you've talked about a couple of the big issues, the biggest impediments here. But if we fix all of this, how does this change your TTI, your total time to insights? What do you think, Deborah?
Yeah, so I think this is where just even, you know, including GPU processing in an enterprise and leveraging it for data pipelining, this is where I think the most massive impact lives. Because you're talking about, again, right, the car versus the jet engine. And think about all of the processes internally from the most minor. I see that like I click on a button on an application and just I've got this like circle of, you know, death that just spins and spins. I'm literally doing this with my hand, even though I know you can't see me, you know, but like it's just like an annoyance because I got an app and it's not responsive and it's latent. And maybe the business users don't use it as much as they should because it's frustrating all the way up to, and we have one of our customers is an insurance company. Every single day they need to decide what do they need for capital reserves and anything excess they can loan out overnight and make money on that money. But the calculation time to figure out what they should hold back in their capital reserves took 22 hours. They could not figure it out in time in order to make that decision. And so this is a case where someone said, this is not good enough. There must be something better. And now they use Scream for that and it takes 2 hours. And they know to the penny what they are required by regulation to keep in the bank and what they can loan out overnight because it's excess. And those are the types of things where time to insight is so critical. And when you think about the sheer power of tens of thousands of cores, that massive parallel processing, bringing that to business problems, everything from the minor annoyance in the dashboard all the way up to business critical decisions that are all across an enterprise, anywhere. It could be the month end close for finance, could be the supply chain, it could be a prediction that you're making, whether it's predictive maintenance or predictive inventory. All of those insights can happen much faster and more importantly, with more data. And one of the things we see, which as a data and AI person, honestly, it breaks my heart. I feel like an angel dies every time I hear someone say the words, we're limiting the data. And this still happens. If the query doesn't run, you make it less complex. If there's too much data, you take a sample or you summarize it or you do something that actually filters out some of the really valuable insights you should be getting. And instead of surfacing them, you're keeping them out of the model. And the world just opens up when you can analyze all the data you want without limits. And because GPUs are so efficient, they're actually a fraction of the cost of using on-prem or cloud resources, which is a real, like people think, oh, this is fast. It must be expensive. Actually, way more cost-effective and more sustainable because you're using a lot less hardware. All the data that you want, all the complexity that you can dream up, and dramatic impact to time to insight. I mean, dramatic. I mean, a fraction, 90% less time, you know, in most cases. So this is, you know, total time to insight is great, but you for me, it's not just the time, it's the quality of the insight. And you get to the higher quality insights when you open the floodgates on the data and you open the floodgates on the complexity. And those are really, really critical too.
Yeah. And you all can't see me, but I was laughing over here when you said an angel dies every time we have to limit our analyses because we have to limit the data that we're accessing, or we have to take samples. And we've talked about this. We talked about this previous to our recording our show together, but about how nobody should be in the year 2024 having to limit the data that we're accessing. We have the tools, we have the solutions there. So it's just a matter of adopting and investing, leveraging these types of tools that are available. Now, I haven't gotten to hear from Jason on this yet either. Jason, what do you think? How do you think if you fix these big impediments that we were talking about for companies, how can this change your TTI, your total time to insights?
Yeah, so I don't have an analogy like an angel dying every time. So Deborah takes the win on this one. But yeah, I mean, from the perspective of like value to business, we should not be working in the law of averages here. This is about how can we have as much information at our fingertips to create this decision tree, to create this process around how we actually can make better informed decisions. So by just simply fixing the total time to insight, what it means is that you can now have more value from that. You're now creating a better answer to the question, or more importantly is you can now solve many more questions at once. So it's about, again, just having the data that you need to be able to answer that question and to be able to create an effective platform or effective solution utilizing these technologies to improve ultimately on the bottom line, to improve on the business and on the business outcomes. I mean, everything that we've been kind of mentioning here is about how can the business improve on how it operates. And in today's day and age, if a business is not improving, it is dying. So it ultimately comes down to using this technology to have your competitive advantage in the field that you're working inside of. But more importantly is to make the right decision on what the next process is or what the next thing is. And all of this comes from the data that's already on hand. We have enough information to be able to start to answer these questions and to trend and to track. But it's how effective are you at that right now? And that's really what we're doing here is we're saying, listen, you're making an investment in this infrastructure. You're making an investment in the software. You're making an investment to improve your business. don't you want to make the best investment possible and to have those funds, that investment, be stretched as far as possible? And really, it's about picking the right technology to get you to that point. So if customers are really serious about this, if the market's really serious about this, then it's about making those right investments so that you can improve on your position in the market and do better by your customer and do better by the market that you work inside of.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you don't mind, I'd love to add something to that. So, you know, I hear a lot of executives talk about driving innovation in their organizations. And, you know, one of the benefits of the solution that we partner together to bring to the market is that it actually unleashes an awful lot of work that a data scientist can do themselves. So if you think about just the way a data scientist work, you know, they start their project, they establish what they need from a data perspective, they give it to a data engineer, they wait for their panel or their data hub, whatever they're calling it, you know, to be prepared for them, they start to work. And of course, you know, always within very quick amount of time, they'll realize, oh, I need something else, and goes back to the data engineer and keeps iterating around that cycle until, you know, they've got what they need and they build out their model. And in one of our joint customers, it's actually Samsung Display, they were on a journey to accelerate the yield of their factories whenever they're creating a brand new display item, which if you think about all of the forms that we use, whether it's a phone or it's a pad or it's a TV, you know, they're creating constantly new screens for new devices. And so just in the way of manufacturing, if you have a brand new item you're manufacturing, you know, your yield is not going to be great on day one because it's a brand new item. They can maybe get to 50% out of the gate, and then very, very quickly they can tune that and like get to 75, 80. But to get to the yield they want then takes several months. And they wanted their research operations team to be able to study all the sensor data coming out of the factory to identify the defect as fast as humanly possible to get to full yield as fast as humanly possible. Because a few months of getting, you know, shortening the time to get to full yield by just even a couple of months, you're talking about millions or tens of millions of dollars in what they're not throwing away because it was defective. And when they started with Scream, it was actually Scream and Hitachi Vantara together, it was actually because they had outgrown their Hadoop environment and they could not physically do the things they want to do. They could not analyze all of the data and find the insights that they needed in order to hit the goal that they want. And because it gives their data scientists direct access into data, and because they can reuse models, so something a data scientist does, another data science can leverage, their data science team went from 80 to over 300 because they eliminated the backlog of, you know, not just could they analyze all of the data, but the speed of throughput of models coming through the hands of their data scientists. This has unleashed innovation in an outrageous, amazing way. And so, you know, the benefits of actually opening up the gates for data and insights that you can drive that support real business outcomes, this is what it means to unleash innovation.
Yeah, amazing. This is a really good use case. And I want to further focus on the partnership because you've circled back talking about how you've been working with Samsung, Scream, and Hitachi Vantara. So focusing further on your partnership and also looking ahead, what potential do you see for the collaboration between Scream and Hitachi Vantara in empowering more organizations to be data-driven, make faster, better decisions, and really leverage the data that they've got? Let's start this with Jason.
Yeah, so from Vantara's perspective, first and foremost, obviously, we've had some great success with Scream, and we're expecting to continue that. I mentioned it earlier, but our announcement at GTC around Hitachi IQ is more than just saying, hey, here's a bunch of infrastructure solutions and things like that, but it's layering in the full journey to be able to effectively address the AI and Gen AI demand in market. Scream is a huge part of that. Again, it's not a Gen AI problem. It's a data problem. It just, the output coming from that is an AI thing. So how can we better work through that? What can we do from a technology standpoint and a solutioning standpoint to address that in our customers' environment? the big part of that is that that data capturing and preparation side of it. And between Scream and Ventara, we have a majorly impressive, what I call award-winning platform. But obviously then leveraging a lot of the other technologies that are brought into it, again, from NVIDIA or with our storage technologies and our ability to have a 20x improvement in GPU performance on top of everything else that we're talking about. There's a lot that goes into creating these successful collaborations and being able to work together and create an output and an outcome that actually makes a difference in the market. And Scream and Hitachi are uniquely positioned to be able to do that. And that is an unbiased opinion. But honestly, it is truly a match made in heaven, because it's a very big problem. And we have two very unique points of view on how to solve this problem. And the two organizations meet together to address this almost seamlessly to be able to actually forward and improve on the position of what our customers are seeing today from a challenge perspective. So yeah, if I look at like, what is this collaboration? What does this partnership look like? It is being tangible and actually being able to address major problems that I don't want to say are being overlooked, but are saying, you know what, it's just, that's as good as it's ever going to get. So they just kind of deal with it. And what we're saying is, no, you don't have to deal with it, or you do have to deal with it. You have to improve on it. And this is an actual answer and a tangible solution that actually lets you address that to improve on your position.
Perfect. I will take your unbiased answer, Jason. And Deborah, what do you think?
I mean, listen, it's a great pairing, because Scream is a software solution. And we were talking earlier about the name. I mean, it's a SQL accelerator with, you know, accelerator being in all caps. I mean, but it relies on GPUs. And so we don't sell hardware. We're not a hardware company. And so this partnership is really important, because Hitachi Ventara makes it really easy to deliver a complete solution. So when a customer is on-prem, this is obviously, it's really critical. We run anywhere, on-prem, cloud, soon to be public cloud, with an offering coming up in May that I'm sure people will hear more about very soon. But to me, this is, there's so much on-prem today. I mean, so many mission critical, so much data still lives there. It's a really important combination to be able for companies to be able to handle it. And what's really interesting is that we are now watching, I don't know, I call it the great repatriation of workloads, where, you know, in a cloud first world, people were in a rush to send lots of workloads to the cloud. And not every workload is best served in the cloud. And the cost associated with refining raw data and pre-processing into analytics ready data is not always a cost advantage to do in the cloud. And so we actually have quite a few opportunities that we're working on together, where people are actually thinking of this as a preprocessor to make data cloud ready, as opposed to moving the raw data and then doing the refining in the cloud.
Perfect. Interesting perspective, Deborah. And as we're coming to the end now, do you have any last words for our audience? I'll circle back to Deborah again.
Oh, I mean, I think these are really exciting times. I think, you know, we've been talking about data is the new oil for a very long time. I think companies have been on the journey to become data-driven for a really long time. I think companies, if you would have, I mean, I've been in this space for quite a few years. And if 10, 12 years ago, you would have asked people to, like, you know, tell me how your structured data programs are going to be different in 10, 12 years, I don't think they could have imagined where they're going, because we've really just had incremental change. Things have just been getting a little better and a little better and a little better. And I think, you know, when, you know, IBM really commercialized Watson and machine learning was like the next thing that absolutely created a boost that was maybe a little bit more than just incremental. But Gen AI came onto the scene, and Gen AI is really an exponential change that took things we tried to do for a long time and suddenly things we never dreamed possible are possible. And that exponential change, the things we never dreamed possible are going to be possible with your structured data as well. And some organizations are already enjoying that. And I think the competitive advantage that those companies are going to gain by eliminating bottlenecks, by eliminating latency, by eliminating restrictions and artificial caps on complexity and data size set, I think they are going to be the ones to enjoy that exponential change first. And so it's exciting to be at this inflection point and to watch what companies do with it.
Yeah, it's exciting times. And Jason, do you have any last words?
I mean, yeah, I everything that Deborah just said, I think absolutely agree with. It's this is a lot of change all at once. And the point is to not make it scary, although it is a lot of change and change can be this daunting thing, but realizing the outcome at the end of it is well worth the effort that's put into it. So from our perspective at Ventara, we're really focused on that journey with the customer and what we can do to really improve on their position and give them the best outcome coming from that effort and really revolutionizing how they address the markets that they work inside of and create something tangible that they can use to drive into the next decade from. So yeah, from our perspective, it's really exciting times, but it's a lot of work and there's a lot of legacy that has to be filtered through to get to a valuable output. And we're really rolling up our sleeves with the customers and creating great partnerships like with Scream to really address this. So it's exciting. It's fun. It's just it's a lot all at once.
Yes, I can agree. I can see that. Well, Deborah and Jason, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you taking the time out to share your thoughts and your experience. I've personally learned a lot from our conversation today, and I think the collaboration between you both is impressive. I'm very much looking forward to following the future impact that your partnership makes in this space. And also, thank you to everyone who tuned in today. We hope you took a lot away from today's podcast. And for further information on what we've talked about, please head on over to scream.com. It's spelled SQREAM.com and HitachiVentara.com, which is HITACHI. Ventara is VANTARA.com. We'll be back next week with another episode in our podcast series. Until then, make sure you subscribe to this podcast on all major platforms. Follow the conversation on our socials at EM360 Tech on Twitter and LinkedIn. And for more great daily content, head on over to EM360Tech.com.